How do you make a documentary when most of your subjects have been killed? This was the challenge facing filmmaker John Perazzi when he set about researching the history of Cambodia's music scene. The country faced a genocidal overthrow by the Khmer Rouge in 1975, which emptied the nation's cities and forced the Cambodian people into hard labor, killing untold millions in just a few years. Perazzi's documentary, Don't Think I've Forgotten, looks at the decades of prosperity and musical renaissance leading up to the tragedy. The soundtrack to the film has been released by Atlanta's own Dust to Digital label, and we spoke with both Perazzi and Dust to Digital's Lance Ledbetter about telling the story of Cambodia through its music. So, can you just quickly sum up what it is that happened to Cambodia in 1975?
In 75 was when the Khmer Rouge took over, but leading up to that is also equally a fascinating time because Cambodia had been a French protectorate for close to 100 years and had gained independence in 53 and had this sort of golden era from 53 to 70 where they were independent, they were modernizing, and the arts were really flourishing. And then from 70 to 75, there was a civil war that involved the U.S., and in 75, the Khmer Rouge came to power. So all these different times within the country's history are reflected in the film and also in the music in the film. So that became a really interesting puzzle for us to put together, how that all sort of, you know, how the music was commenting on what was happening in the country or not, and how it all sort of developed and flowed together at the same time.
So Don't Think I've Forgotten is sort of part rock doc and part geopolitical history lesson. What was it that that originally brought you out to Cambodia?
I traveled to Cambodia for the first time in 2001 to work as a camera operator on another film, a film directed by Matt Dillon called City of Ghosts. We were there for 4 months making Matt's film, and you know, I started reading everything I could get my hands on about the modern history of Cambodia, and became really fascinated by America's involvement, how it related to the Vietnam War, what had happened as far as Prince Sihanouk as a character leading up to the Khmer Rouge coming to power. And I thought it would it's a great story. I mean, it's a very dramatic story and has a lot of different angles and characters to it. But then I also realized that it had already been done. I mean, there's been some really good documentaries by the BBC, by Australian TV, and other filmmakers about modern Cambodia's history. So I sort of put the idea down. But then when I came back to New York, it was actually when I came back to New York that a friend from San Francisco sent me a compilation called Cambodia Rocks. And I think that was the first compilation in the West that really introduced people here to the music. And when I heard that, I right away, you know, sort of referenced back to my idea of making a film about the history of the country and, you know, had this idea of tying the two together. Because obviously the people who made the music that I was listening to had been, you know, directly affected by what had happened to their country.
So going back to Cambodia, I mean, what did you find upon going back and searching for these people, these musicians?
You know, it was a very long and arduous process because so much had either been destroyed or just didn't, you know, archivally survive the tropics. And I think Cambodia had been gone through so much and had been so devastated that people weren't thinking about archiving anything. They were just, you know, attempting to live their lives on a daily basis. And so when I went back, everyone told me, you won't find anything. You know, it's all gone, basically. So it was a very slow process, but little by little, we started to piece the story together. And it really involved a lot of searching for people because no one had really attempted, as far as I know, to piece together the history of the music. So there was no primary research that existed anywhere. I think we shot over 80 interviews in 4 countries in 3 languages to piece together the history of the music. And I think there's about 29 of those interviews actually made it into the film.
Wow.
Bạn xây băng xa hạch hạ trò xôi.
One of the sort of central figures in Cambodian music that you focus on is, and help me pronounce his name.
Yeah, Sin Sisimut. Yeah, Sin Sisimut is still considered to be, you know, the ultimate Cambodian singer. I mean, to this day, he's listened to throughout the country and in the diaspora across the globe as well, in various, you know, in Long Beach, California, and Paris, and Lowell, Massachusetts, wherever Cambodians, wherever the diaspora's ended up, is, you know, he's still heard and loved. So his story is very interesting because I think as the country went, he went. He started out very early on. He came to Phnom Penh from the countryside. He was a very humble guy at the beginning, and was a crooner in the 50s, and actually had this very silky, smooth voice. And then he started becoming a songwriter, and he became known as a great songwriter as well. So he's sort of this combination of, I like to say, he's sort of a combination of Frank Sinatra and Bob Dylan, because he possessed both skills of being a great singer and a great songwriter. But also he possessed the ability to adapt what was changing in the music. And as rock and roll came in, he really embraced it and also made great rock and roll records.
Can you talk about partnering with Dust to Digital to work on the soundtrack?
You know, as we were getting near completion on the film, I realized the soundtrack is obviously going to be really powerful and almost another way to tell the story just through the music, because I wanted to structure the soundtrack so you hear, you know, it's chronologically sequenced, so you hear how the music develops from the sort of big band crooner era all the way up until the sort of acid rock era and everything in between. And I started hearing about Dust to Digital, and I heard they had put out this box set of Southeast Asian traditional music, 78 recordings. And I ordered it, and it was such a beautiful box and packaging, and it was just done so well, and it was so affordably priced. I just was like, wow, these guys do some really nice work. And I contacted Lance through a mutual friend, and once he saw the film, he really wanted to be involved, which was great.
My name is Lance Ledbetter. My wife, April, and I run a record company / publishing company here in Atlanta, Georgia, called Dust to Digital.
So on this particular release, mm-hmm. Don't Think I've Forgotten, there's a producer's note in the back of the liner notes that reads, "Most of the master recordings from this period were either lost or destroyed. After searching three continents over many years, we'd like to thank the diehard vinyl collectors and scholarly detectives who worked with us to find these rare sources." Right. Can you talk about some of those challenges in putting this collection together?
Right, right. Well, I mean, people that know the story of Cambodia know that there was a mass genocide in the 1970s, and in addition to the human lives that were lost, the regime that took power wanted to destroy art and music from that period, and so musicians were killed, and records were destroyed. And when I say records, I mean phonograph records. And the fact that we're able to put together this compilation from original records was no small feat. I spoke to one of the biggest collectors that contributed to the soundtrack. Is a collector up in Massachusetts by the name of Nate Hun. And I was talking to Nate. We had a CD release party for the soundtrack in New York City, and Nate DJed and brought all the original records, and was just amazing. When I say records, most of these records from this era are the 7-inch 45s. And I was speaking to Nate, and he told me about one record trip in particular that he went to in Cambodia looking for records. And he encountered an older gentleman, and he said, "You should come back to my village. I might be able to help you." And before they went to his house, he took Nate to a hill, and he took him to the top of the hill, and they looked down, and he explained to Nate how when the Khmer Rouge took over, they would take people to the top of that hill and hit them in the back of the head with a hammer to save on bullets and everything. And they would fall to the bottom of the hill. And if they weren't dead from the hammer blow, they would die in the bottom of this hill. But then you see Nate was taken to the man's house just probably less than a mile away. And when Nate goes in the house, he said it was just floor-to-ceiling records. That this guy was aware of the human casualties, but also aware that the records and the music needed to be saved. And he took it upon himself. And I would say more than a few records came from that man passing those records on to Nate to share with the world.
John, there's a quote from the film. If you want to eliminate values from past societies, you have to eliminate artists. Why do you think that's true?
Well, I think the film does talk to that. It is true because artists are reflecting what's happening around them in a very direct way that people can relate to, and they're doing it in an unfiltered way. And I think whether it's the Khmer Rouge or whether it's the Nazis or whoever, you know, they understand this. And music in Cambodia has been very powerful. Every regime, whether it was Sihanouk, Lon Nol, Pol Pot, the current regime, always use music in a very specific way to, you know, shore up their base.
So with that in mind, what do we get, or what did you get out of telling this story, focusing on the point of view of Cambodia's artists and musicians?
I think it started to become clear to me how important music is to society. And I think it's easy to sort of take it for granted. It's just sort of everywhere, and there's all kinds of music, and it seems free, and it's not something you can touch or hold or put in a box, you know, it's just sort of floating in the air. But in reality, music is so powerful, and it does directly reflect what's happening, even in times of peace. I mean, since Sisamut's most beautiful songs were all about the beauty and serenity of Cambodia before the war. But he was reflecting what was happening. And as the war started, the music started to change. And you start to understand that it's a dialogue's created between the artists and the people that goes back and forth. And that's something that really became an important element to the film, I think.
How is Cambodia doing today?
Cambodia's, you know, the David Chandler, who's one of the most, you know, he's the foremost modern Cambodian historian who's in the film, you know, will say that Cambodia, of all the bad things that happened in the Indochina War, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia has suffered the greatest. And it's been a long road back for Cambodia. It's certainly in a much better place today than it's been in quite a while. But it's still, you know, it's. I think it's hard to sort of quantify having all of your artists and intellectuals, essentially, and teachers and lawyers and doctors and anyone with an education either be killed or die or flee the country. And starting over again from basically, you know, nothing. So it's been a long, hard road. But one thing that's interesting in Cambodia now is there's a new young generation, and it sort of came to be as we were making the film, that, you know, it's come of age now, and they didn't go through the Khmer Rouge. And they have sort of different expectations and different desires. And, you know, life goes on. And a great byproduct for me that I didn't foresee happening, it does act as a bridge between generations, because so many young people have heard about this time, but they've never been able to really visualize it or understand it. And I think the film, I mean, they've been coming to me at screenings and thanking me because the film is helping them understand their parents' and grandparents' generation in a way they weren't able to before they've seen the film.
Thank you.
จากน้องจะมี